What is going on, y'all? Welcome to the Huey Show number 12. It is your boy, of course, Huey, and today we got some good old fire topics for you guys. Apologize for being away. Your boy had to catch up on a few edits that was long over fucking due. And anytime I try to record while rendering, my PC would crash. Unfortunate, but this shit does happen. But to get this shit kicked off, I'm a little late, I know. But the NBA All-Star Game, they broke out 200 points. Okay, so here's my thing about this, right? I understand that being competitive for the first three, you know, everybody's trying to get themselves right. They're trying to get, you know, they're trying to show out. This is most of the time All-Star Break is about entertainment, entertaining the fans. But this game, look, the celebrity game was more competitive. It felt like the celebrity, I was watching it. And I thought I was going to cut that hole off maybe after like the first or second quarter, because by that point, nobody really cares about what's going on. Who cares about a whole bunch of celebrities? Let me rephrase that. Who cares about celebrities playing basketball? We're here for the NBA. That's why it's called the NBA All-Star Break, right? But, hold on, y'all. How can the celebrity game be more competitive than the All-Star game? Listen, I'm not trying, and look, I was barely around for the times of the 01, 02 All-Star games to where people allegedly say it was more competitive. Listen, I was maybe, what, 4 or 5, maybe less than that, 98. So what, I was definitely 3. I don't remember that shit. But I remember it being competitive in the 2010s. I don't remember them slacking off the same way they do now. And I get it, nobody's trying to get injured, nobody's trying to have a nasty career injury. Nobody's here to discount, discredit, nothing like that. But dog, hoop. Sometimes the score is so skewed by the time the fourth quarter comes around, nobody wants to try, because what's the point? You're down 30. And the fact that it was 212 to, I can't remember the full score, but 212 points? I get it. We're in a high-scoring league right now. This is probably outside maybe the 70s when Wilt and you know, all of them was playing. Wilt, Elgin Baylor, the logo. Before, you know, during that time, the game was so quick where you'd have people scoring 100 points a game, or not 100 points a game, 100 points in the game, averaging, you know, 15, 20 rebounds. The game has kind of matched that pace. And because the offense has just become so skilled, even the defense is like, hey, we're keeping up, but we ain't keeping up like the off. I mean, the offense, they've given some the defense some rules that they can kind of survive by, like the KD rip through. You can't do that anymore. You can't kick your feet out. You know, what a lot of people don't know is that hand checking is still in the league. You can still kind of put your hands on people, but you just can't do it in a manner that completely prohibits them from getting to that lane. And I want to say another thing. This is off topic. I feel people feel like it was more physical. The defense was better. When if you look back at it, theoretically, when you look back at it, the spacing was horrible. Everybody was trying to shoot mid ranges. At the free throw line, around that range, that's where a lot of people's good spots was at. There wasn't as many dominant three pointers. You know, you had the Mullins, the Reggie Millers, and all them, but they actually mostly thrived on like in that middle line, just like Jordan and Kobe, Shaq, all of them. They all thrived in that mid-range. You know, Shaq was more of a into the post, back you down, you know, bink bink dunk, or bink bink into a hook shot, you know, something like that. So if you really look at those games, I would say that once you blew past your defender, there was nobody to really stop you, because you would get an illegal defensive call. So I think we confuse physicality with defense, when defense isn't necessarily physical. I gotta look up his name. He might not even be in a league anymore. I mean, he might be on the bench, but there's a guy on the 76ers, not Ben Simmons. What was his name? He was a great defensive player, but he wasn't physical. He was a angle. So he would play you slightly from behind, right? Pause. He played you slightly from behind, pause. And he would block you when you're going into your shot. So he'd be slightly like more on your hip, pause. And then while you're going down, if you go to pull up, he's blocking you. If you go for a layup, he'll block you before you get your arm up, because most people are right-handed. Now, not to say that there aren't left-handed people in the league, but a lot of them are primarily right that can also finish with the left. LeBron James, Ben Simmons, I'm trying to think who else, James Harden. You know, there's a few players who are left-handed. Naturally, even though LeBron plays mostly with his right, there's a few players that are left-handed. But it's not as, you know, spurs as what people assume. But don't confuse being more physical with being a better defense. Because I don't necessarily think they would stop somebody like a Stephen Curry just by smacking him around. Truth be told, same thing with LeBron. I don't think they would stop him. They would just need the more four-point plays. Because we've seen, you know, people before Stephen Curry still go get buckets on the Nuggets. I just can't remember his name in that round. But nonetheless, back to the original point. You know, we need, you know, the 20, what was it? When did Kobe die? 2020, 2021? We need that All-Star game back. Because they competed. And I know people will say, oh, that's because of Kobe. They were competing because of Kobe. It wasn't because they wanted to. It was because Kobe had just passed. I understand that. But maybe we should put that more into it. Especially since, you know, it was in Indiana. Larry Bird. The Pacers, which is more... Listen, they're more of a fast break team. But people, especially now, but in the 90s and early 2000s, they were a very rough physical team. A lot of people forget. Malice at the Palace was with the Pistons and the Pacers. So, it's not like they were so... Truth be told, they might be up there... Hold on, y'all. I need a sip. Truth be told, they might be up there in terms of physicality when it comes down to the Pistons, to the Celtics. I'm talking about of those times. Pistons, Celtics, Trailblazers, the Jailblazers. You know, at one point, they were right there. So, to say outright that... That physicality is what makes defense. I'm talking about the wrong thing. I think that because they were playing in front of Larry Bird, I don't think Dominique was there, but they were playing in front of the vets. I would have thought they would have tried more harder to make it more competitive, not be so lax. I get it. Nobody wants to risk an injury, but you know, we've seen past generations before this one that you can hoop seriously and not necessarily get hurt. There's just a different feeling. And when you see someone break 200 points, and they could have really hit 215. If they had reached 220, they would have been... I think the league is definitely going to do some things, because this is kind of unacceptable. But besides that, you know, All-Star break as a whole was pretty fire for me, except for the dunk contest. The three-point contest was great. You know, Sabrina showed out. Curry showed out. Everybody did his thing. Dame Lillard won, which is surprising because he's kind of having an off year right now. You know, I think he's like 26 and like 37%, or something like that in the last five games, something like that. Now, that's not to say that let's not be foolish. You know, Giannis is hold on, y'all. Jesus. Alright, we are back. Sorry about that, y'all. Lex thinks it's playtime, and it's not. So, I had to kick him downstairs. And that's my dog. But, you know, everything outside of that, the dunk contest is what I need to talk about. That shit is so trash. Listen, you can't dunk over somebody that's shorter than me. And Jaylen Brown, what's his face? He showed out. Let me look up his name real quick. Hold on, y'all. So like Matt McClung, he showed out. You had what's his face's brother, he showed out. You know, I feel like that one dunk he did could have been higher scored. Especially when you see Jaylen Brown's dunks and how they were scored. I feel like there was a little bit of a bias for NBA players. McClung had been there last year, so they viewed Mac differently this year. But I feel like there was a little bit of, you know, unfair bias towards them, because how can Jaylen Brown get almost a 49-50, and then what's-his-face's brother got less than that? I don't necessarily understand that. Let me pull up his name. Oh, Jamie, who also did his thing. You know, he didn't do too much in particular, but I didn't find a lot of his dunks to be the most pertaining, most entertaining. Jacob Toppin, that's his name. You know, one of his dunks could have easily been a 48 or 49, and it was given like a 47. That's kind of what I mean by the bias. Matt McClung, I think the reason as to why he's not in the league is just because of his defense. Something's wrong, because he should probably be in the league at this point. And he definitely showed it at that, what was that? It was the NBA G League versus the rookies and sophomores. Because I think they beat, Wemby and that whole squad of NBA players that everybody thought would go deep. And it was supposed to be Wemby versus Shet. But it ended up being Shet versus a bunch of G Leaguers. Which, to me, was, like I said, that was more entertaining than the All-Star game. It's just crazy. You got all these great players, some MVPs, and they just don't show out. So that's something the league's going to have to figure out what to do. I don't know really what to do. You can't make it $1 million, and you can't give somebody like a first-round pick. Because, and you can't give the winner of it. Thanks. Sorry about that. I'm back. Once again, life with a dog. But like I was saying before, you got all these great time players, all-time great, top 75 players, and yet, for some reason, they don't know how to be competitive in an All-Star game. Like I said before, I get it. You don't want to get hurt. There's a way to play basketball and not necessarily get hurt. You don't have to. Nobody's saying go 100%. Nobody's saying lock down like as if this is the NBA Finals. We're saying give us 75-80. Like, come on, build up from 50% to at least land at 75. That's all we ask for. Speaking of the NBA, Jason Tatum says he's the best player in the league. Look, people, I think in this era, people have an issue with people who are confident. And I understand people are going to say, oh, he shouldn't be talking like that. He hasn't won an NBA ring. He went to the finals and lost. The whole he's had shortcomings in the playoffs, but what star hasn't? I get it. I understand what people are saying, but realistically, in what world would I ever say, nah, I ain't like that? What? I thought if I made the league because of me saying I'm the top dog, I'm the best, and I'm gonna get and fight, I'm gonna get and compete against the best. Why would I say, you know, I'm like, you know, not on me, I'm like fourth best. That's not what got you in the league. So, I don't necessarily understand why people expect for him to say, yeah, you know, Joker's better than me, Luka's better than me, they could be MVPs, SGA. No, I'm going to say I'm MVP. What the fuck you think this is? And that's what kind of irks my nerves. People want people to, you know, there's a difference between delusion and confidence, right? Jason Tatum has a point. He's been to the finals. Now he's lost, but he has been there. So he kind of has a confidence to him that other people cannot say. Joel Embiid, sorry. He was an MVP. No disrespect. And rightfully deserved. But, you know, if Embiid had made it to the finals, had made it to the promised land, I could understand him saying, hell, if Booker had that scene, yo, I think I'm the best. I would get it. You've been to the finals. You've been to the promised land now. Maybe you got kicked out and somebody took your spot. But you were there. You deserve to have a right. Giannis, yo, I'm the best. Like, people who have been to that stage, whether you've shortcomed it, whether you've won it, whatever it is, they have a right to have an ego. That's an ego. You need an ego. And some people don't want people to express their egos. And if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But you need an ego. You need an ego to get to a certain point in life. Hey, I'm not going to take this anymore. I need yesterday's price ain't today's price. How I felt yesterday isn't how I feel today. You know? So when people say, oh, Jason Tatum shouldn't be saying that because of these numbers. Fuck that. If I average 29 points in the NBA, there could be a dude who averages 33, 35. But I'm the one or two seed. Let me just double check that real fast. Hold on. Before I start going crazy. Let me see. Because I think they're the one seed. Let's see. Yep, one seed. And Cleveland's the two. So, like I said, not to discredit or anything like that, but I think he should feel like that, and a lot more players should feel like that. They should have some pride and some ego to say, I'm the top dog, and if you think differently, prove it to me on the court, prove it to me in the playoffs. I've cooked, you know, the Sixers in particular. I believe he's faced the Heat. He's really only lost to LeBron and Steph. If you think about it, in the long, and you know, of course, the Miami Heat. So, and Jimmy Butler. But outside of that, who has he really lost to that wasn't at least top 75? Realistically. Or who isn't going to be probably in the Hall of Fame at some point. Jimmy Butler might not make the Hall of Fame. But regardless, you can't say he hasn't done some Hall of Fame shit. Bring his team twice to the finals. After cooking. Now, as we got deeper in there, you know, you could argue Jimmy Butler's, you know, efficiency and overall skill. Not skill. Overall play might have decreased more and more. But that first round to probably say the semis, that man was on a mission. I don't even like to use this word, but that nigga was on one. He was cooking everybody. My cousins came to me. He said, yo, I think the Knicks are going to beat the Heat. I said, hey, the way they cooking right now, we might lose to the motherfucker. Now, you can make the argument that what's-his-face sat out when he shouldn't have. And as a player, I get it. But then you don't want to end up as another Isaiah Thomas, Time Lord. Who all played through injury and then didn't get nothing out of it. So, you know, you got to find that little bit of a balance. But it is what it is. And there was somebody else I wanted to speak about. Oh, Dame Lillard. I had an argument with my cousins. I had told them, because we've been going back and forth, who would be the better matchup for the Nuggets if they reached the finals, right? And I told him, I think the Celtics would be necessarily a better matchup. Not because, you know, not that I think they'd win against the Nuggets or anything like that. I'm saying in terms of overall, you know, you had Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, you got KP, you got Al, you got a whole bunch of bench players, Derek White, who's looking like a six-man of the year candidate again. You got a whole bunch of pieces there. And their bench is deep, too. They have another 7-footer that comes off the bench. And his argument was, well, who's going to stop Joker? I said, nobody's going to stop Joker. Who's going to stop Jamal? Well, now you got two guards that are pretty good defensively. Who's going to start what's-his-face? Jalen's out there. I mean, hold on, y'all. Doggy again. Hold on. But yeah, we was having that argument, and he said, "Who's gonna stop the small forward?" I said, "Well, Jason Tatum's on him. Who's stop Joker?" I said, or Aaron. I said, Aaron's is not a non-factor. Let me not say that. Great player or good player, I'll say good player, does his job, does it efficiently. I'm not discrediting that man at all. But realistically, your main two issues are gonna be Joker and Jamal. What's his face? The small forward. I always forget his name, even though he never passes. He's only a factor when you kind of when Joker starts to realize that you guys are doubling him all the time. He'll kick it out to him, or Jamal will pass it to him. He's supposed to pass it one more time, and he'll just shoot it because he feels like he's always open, and he's earned that confidence with a ring. But you know, my cousin he brought up. You know, you got Dame, you got Giannis, you got Brook Lopez, you got the dude that participated in the 3-point contest. He's just escaping my name. You know, that's not to say they don't have no key pieces, but they don't have the defense. They don't, cause Jamal's gonna go right past Dame, and right now Dame's looking to be having a down year. So if Dame's having a down year, instead of having, let's say, 28, he's only gonna have 23. The playoffs, you gotta double your scoring output in order to win basketball games. So instead of 23, he's supposed to really have probably, well, if he was supposed to be having 26, 27, 28, that 26, 27, 28 has to jump up to at least 31, 32. That 23 would have to go up to that 27. I don't see it happening right now. You know, Brook Lopez has kind of had a decline. I think that's because he's been having to play up more because Dame isn't the greatest defensive player. If you watch the games, you'll see that he often gets lost a lot. It does happen. It's not all the time his fault. There could be a miscommunication between him and somebody else. So for me, it wasn't about the offenses because the offenses can both give you something. But, you know, Giannis can only do so much in terms of helping. Same thing with Lopez. Lopez can only do so much with helping. That starting lineup of the Celtics is probably all NBA defensive. At it, because you got Kristaps, Al, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Drew Holiday, who was on the Bucks, who I said was probably going to be severely missed, not because of his offense, but because of his defense, and we're seeing it now. Now, to their due diligence, they're still third in the East, right? However, you could say the Boston Celtics are first in the East. Now, we all know first place isn't a guaranteed spot to win it, as we saw with the Bucks. Speaking of them, as we saw with the Bucks, they lost to the Heat that one time. So, I'm not here to discredit nobody and say, "Oh, first." No. What I'm saying is, Dame isn't having that same showing, and now we're starting to see the blowback on Giannis and the whole team. Your first coach was fired. You guys got rid of Bud. Now, to be fair, Bud had some very bad shortcomings. He didn't really adjust all the time like he should have. He did get them a ring, but you could argue that was against the Suns, who just didn't show up for the next like four games that they played against the Bucks. But at the same time, hold on, good old water break. But at the same time, you gotta look at it realistically now. Who would be the best competitive against the Nuggets? Because that's the reigning champion. Now we do have OKC Thunder, and you do have the Timberwolves, but they're both too young. The Warriors and Lakers are starting to go on a run, and you also have the Clippers. Clippers have been in the playoffs, so we gotta see how they participate. So that's why I'm using the Nuggets. When you look at it, it would be the Celtics as the better favorite team to go against the Nuggets to me. You look at everything, the Celtics have the best overall team to face the Nuggets compared to the Bucks, who respectfully are the it's just the starting lineup that people fear. They don't fear the bench. They don't. You at least have Derrick White coming off the bench, right? You know, you have what's his face? That Richard dude or whatever his face. You have Cornette, who's 7 foot, who might not be able to stop Joker because nobody's gonna be able to stop him. But hey, if you can stop him from getting 40, 15, and 13, instead he gets 30, 10, and 10, that's something better than nothing. I mean, goddamn, because yeah, that gonna happen. Joker usually picks it up in the playoffs at this point because he knows what it's really about. It's about the playoffs. Now, on to the next topic, still in the NBA. JJ versus Pat. Now, here's the thing, right? Pat said, and maybe I'll be able to put the tweets on the video. Pat has said it and made this claim he saved his career. I disagree. If you look at JJ's stats, he was coming off the bench for Orlando. Orlando was a finals team. They had made the finals. If you look, now, I know people are going to say, who the fuck cares if you're not in the top three nominations? And you're correct. But if you look at that, he was in contention for Sixth Man of the Year. Now, you could argue, yeah, Huey, but doesn't matter. He didn't start getting a starting position till he left and went to the Clippers. You'd be right. I'm not going to sit here and argue with that. You are correct. Starting isn't everything. We saw that with Jamal Crawford. We've seen that with Manu. We've seen that with many things. There are many six men that didn't originally start, that went and started, and it got reverted back to the bench. There's nothing wrong with it. Certain people play better against the second unit. They just do. Now, according to JJ, JJ said that's not true. I had offers. I did have offers from other teams to go to other teams. People would say, that's cool that you had those offers, but you chose the one with Doc. That was before he got there. So, and a lot of people don't know, he's one of the coaches that was traded to the Clippers, I think. He didn't leave, he got traded. So that means the front office said, hey, y'all got some picks for this motherfucker. I ain't never seen that since a coach be traded to another team. I think they might have outlawed that because I don't think it's been done since. I could be wrong. There could be somebody that it has happened to, but it's just not coming to my mind right now. But anyways, getting back to the JJ versus Pat. And if you look at his stats after, he actually performed better on the Sixers than on the Clippers. You could say, hey, his career was saved with the Clippers. I'd argue it wasn't. I think he was going to be set. When you're a shooter, you will always have a spot in the league. Unless you don't play no defense. And we all know who we're talking about. The dude that came out of college. That everybody thought was going to average 50. And now he's in China. Averaging 50. You know what I mean? Still doing his thing. Just not in the NBA. Because he doesn't have the defense to match him. He doesn't. JJ Redick was pretty much in the playoffs up until I think the Pelicans. Once he reached the Pelicans, he said nah. And I think there was even a joke with Zion running around that he said, hey, listen, every year I've been... I think most of the year he's been in the playoffs most of his career. And I think he made a joke, don't fuck up my stat line. Don't fuck up my streak. So to say that he saved it is just, I just feel like it's wrong. It's just not a proper statement. He's a shooter who played all right defense, not great, not immaculate, not a Kawhi, not a Clay. He played all right defense, was never the best. He was just all right. He was a great shooter, could play off ball. You know, he had okay playmaking, was never the best. Was never a point guard. Like I said, he was a two guard. He really was. And his stats prove that after leaving Doc, which is, there have been some plays that this has happened to, after leaving Doc, they had actually a better season following. And JJ happens to be one of them. A lot of teams, after Doc has left the Clippers, they went further than they could with Doc. The Clippers with people used to question his coaching because, you know, he won one with LeBron, but what's his name? I think he was on the same coaching. And hold on, let me see Clippers coach. He was stepped over. I just can't remember. That's Tyronn Lue. A lot of people were doubting his coaching ability because he only won one with LeBron. And they were seeing how things were running with the Clippers up until a certain point. So they thought he wasn't going to do nothing. He was just a standby or another guy that you get until another coach that has more of a resume wins. And that's crazy to say when you have a ring. But that's what happens when you're a coach for LeBron. They don't give you the same respect unless you win it by yourself. And now that the Clippers have gone to the Western Conference Finals, I believe they went there 1 year, which is something that Doc couldn't get them to go. That says something. That says a lot. And, you know, that's no disrespect to Doc. He still has a championship. even though a lot of the players on that Celtics team and Clippers team did not like his style of coaching or who he was maybe as a person. I don't know. I feel like it was more a coaching thing. And I think Doc even said about Tyronn Lue, he was all my coaching staff. How much different could it be? We see how much different it is. So that was a bad argument to make. And we're not done with Doc because he's going around talking. I don't want to say talking shit, but he isn't talking the best about the front office that just brought him in. He said, I don't know why they fired the coach. I told him when they did it that this was a bad decision. Bitch, you was the consultant. You was the consultant. Hold on, y'all. Doggy issues. Hold on. All right, sorry about that. We're back. But regardless, you're the consultant. What do you mean when they were coming up to you asking, yeah, we want you as the coach? And he said, I don't know why you're doing this. And you're making all these excuses. Oh, whoever was making the schedule didn't realize how flights work and all that. And I'm like, you were the consultant. I'm not trying to make accusations. I'm not trying to say, oh, they knew this is what they had planned all along. But if you're the consultant to the coach who's coaching the players and you proceed to take over his spot, what was you telling him? Being honest, he could have said everything to have him do everything wrong just to take his spot. Because he obviously wanted to come back coaching into the league. He knew he wasn't done coaching. So I think if your mindset is to get back into the league, there should be some kind of rule. If you're a consultant, you can't be a coach. As long as you are a consultant, at least, you cannot be a coach. Now, if you're not consulting and you're just looking for a coaching job, all right, do what you want. But if you're a consultant, you could not consult for this. You cannot become a coach of the same team that you're consulting within the same year. That's why I think the rule should be, because that's ridiculous. And then he gets to coach the All-Star game. I know he said he's going to give the ring, the prize, the money, all that to Adrian. But still, that's wild, yo. You tell me there wasn't no, yeah, we want you over here, man. You know, why don't you just tell him a few things, blah, blah. Because now I guarantee you when the front office found out about what he was saying about that, it's like, yo, we brought you in, gang. Like who is you? We brought you in. We brought you in because this other gentleman wasn't doing the adequate job. Some of the players were complaining about the defensive rotations, the plays, the whole nine yards. We brought you in because you got a ring. You did it with the Boston Celtics. We want you to bring it to the promised land. What has he done since? He had Lob City, who had, you know, CP3, Blake Griffin, Jamal Crawford. You know, all these pieces off the bench, right, that should have really went further than where they did, and he still couldn't get it done. He had it with the Boston Celtics. They only won one time. After that, they lost. Now, you could argue with the Orlando Magic, he was able to build them up, but he had Penny there. Now, he helped coach him to the playoffs, but they lost in the playoffs. Then he goes to the Clippers, loses in the playoffs, loses multiple 3-1 leads, multiple, and you still hired a motherfucker. And now, guess what? Exactly what I thought would happen now. Oh, Giannis has had 3 coaches within the last 5 years. Is Giannis a problem? This is what starts to happen now. Instead of blaming perhaps the front office, now players do have some involvement in this because you don't just go outside your superstar player and just hire somebody. Usually it does go through them a little bit. It should be 50-50. 50% Giannis, because allegedly Nurse was willing to come, but Giannis turned it down allegedly. You know, he's probably going to hit his with the LeBron. I'm just a player. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would say. I'm just a player. All I go out there is hoop and try to get a ring. We all know it runs through you, bro. You can't fool us. You can't fool us. Giannis, as much as you are this happy-so-lucky guy, you are serious about competing for another ring. You've been to the promised land. You've been to the mountaintop. Now you're trying to get back, though. So let's not act foolish. Let's not act, you know, ridiculous. Right now, I think for the Bucks, right now, they're still trying to figure it out. I don't know how they're going to figure it out because, like I said, the thing about the current coach, Doc, is that he does not adjust. So that means the players have to adjust on their own, which we saw with the Celtics. Even the Celtics players came out and said, yeah, I mean, there was a few times we had to adjust. We had to adjust outside of Doc because Doc didn't have the best play drawn up, or we had to say fuck that defense system that he had. We gotta do it this way. So not to say that he didn't, not to say that he never adjusted, but he didn't adjust as well as he could have. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. But anyways, I've been rather long-winded on that. We're gonna move on to the next topic. NBA, y'all don't be having fights. Y'all be having scuffles and skirmishes. Because, you know, I was watching some of the games last night. You know, the Warriors got at it with the Hornets. Pelicans got at it with the Heat. Now, what's his face? I might be able to get the clip of him. What's his face? I can't remember his face. Two of the players actually started fighting for real on the sideline and threw punches. So, they were having a fight. But the original fight, they wasn't fighting. And even I don't think the fight on the sideline was really a fight. It looked like he threw his hand, but it wasn't a punch. It was like a slap, if anything. So I don't think it was really a fight. Listen, there's too much money to risk snuffing. There's just too much. There's too much money to me going up to some NBA player, and I'm another NBA player, and snuffing the shit out of a motherfucker. There's too much money. Unless you're like a Melo who got away with it. Unless you're like a mouse at the palace or a certain situation like that, you're not going to get, unless you're what's-his-face, that two-piece Kobe, you're not really going to, it's not worth the money. It's because, I think a lot of NBA players will admit this. Nobody's trying to fight in the league. Nobody. Even I think in the 80s and 90s, they weren't really trying to fight. If you look at a lot of the fights, you know, except for, you know, the Larry Bird incident, where Charles Barkley was trying to contain the situation, but he put Larry Bird in a full Nelson, and then that allowed Julius to get some shots off. But unless you're that, and it's that circumstance, they wasn't really fighting. Go watch some of the clips back then. You know, you had some people getting choked out. But you never really saw punches fly. Really, that was more of a 60s and 70s thing. But into the 80s and 90s, the most you get is a push, a choke. Players will grab each other's jerseys real aggressively. I think the Lopez brothers are the only ones I know that really throw punches. Maybe what's-his-face when he was on Toronto with Kawhi. I think he threw a punch. But outside of that, they're not really trying to physically fight. Shaq threw a couple punches, but they all were misses. That's kind of how you know they're more brute strength fighters than they are fighters. Because if they were fighters, they would miss some of these punches. So you got to look at it from that point of view. I think the NBA has to change their idea of a fight, a skirmish. A fight is in hockey. Even football, they have more fights and they're padded. So yeah, Like I said, this was just me. This has nothing to do with, this isn't a major topic or anything where I can statistically prove this. You can look at it visually back in the day compared to now. If you look at them, a lot of them, even in the 80s and the 90s, were skirmishes. They were. People just want to hype it up. Yo, they were more physical. And this goes back to the All-Star game. Being more physical doesn't mean you're better defensively. Someone could push me out the air a million and one times. After a while, I'm just going to get used to the shit. Just like Jordan did. You got, all right, I'm just going to get strong and just get used to it. Then that's what LeBron would do. That's what Curry would do. Hell, Curry might actually, he might have more four-point plays back then than now, because we saw it with Rahamed, and I think he changed his name. It was something else before then. He was going crazy from shooting from three. He was Curry before Curry, and he still did it efficiently. And every time I bring him up, all the old heads go quiet, because they always forget about him, because he was blackballed by the league for his religious standpoints at the time. They just forget about it. So, I think we gotta change, one, what a fight is. That's one. And two, physicality doesn't mean you're good at defense. Because look at those defenses. If Jordan blew past his main defender, he had a dunk. Don't get me wrong, if it was against the Pistons, the Knicks, they would, you know, wrap him up and take him down. Pause. But if it wasn't against them, wide open lay. Every time. Or a wide open mid-range J, because you could not have somebody creeping in the key. There was no way a secondary helper wasn't even allowed because of the illegal defensive rules. So, I'm not trying to hear none of that. All right, now we are off the NBA. You know, this is more entertainment because the NFL is unfortunately done. I was going to talk about Super Bowl, but listen, we all know how that shit went. Congratulations to the Chiefs. Unfortunately for the 49ers. I had to call it this football because I saw more Taylor Swift than sometimes I saw Patrick Mahomes, and he was on the field. So that's all I'm going to talk about that for now. But now what I'm going to talk about, Kodak. Listen, I get it. You're just coming out the pen. The first thing you come out and you see is a camera in your motherfucking face. I get it. No disagreement on that. I understand his frustration. Doesn't mean you throw a rock at somebody, gang. Listen, I think he might be institutionalized at this point. He's so used to prison, he has no problem going to prison. And I have family members who are in prison, family members who have been in prison. It's not that you don't care, it's just that you've done it before. He's been there one time, Trump freedom, other time he had a lighter sentence. How many times can you say free Kodak before? Because now on Twitter, right, and we all know Twitter is Twitter. Nobody takes Twitter serious. But on Twitter, they're saying, oh, he was proving a point. He's proving a point. All right, so then I best not see no more free Kodak Black. I best see prove a point. I don't want to see no hashtag free Kodak. Because if he goes to jail again, or if he goes to prison again, I'm not hearing it. Because here's the thing, right, and I always use this analogy. If you burn your hand on the stove the first time, people are going to understand. Hell, if you do it a second time, people might understand. But the third, fourth, and the fifth, they're going to stop looking at the stove and they're going to start looking at you. People are saying, oh, you should be let off. No, when you're a repeat offender, listen, if Draymond Green, before that whole chokehold situation, before he snuffed Jordan Poole, if he didn't have a background of you know, doing some shit that could be questionable, he probably wouldn't have suffered as much. Because he's a repeat offender, you don't get the same leniency as a first-time offender. When I get my first, you know, illegal parking ticket, or I get my first speeding ticket, the judge might be more lenient to drop it in terms of discount. They might, hey, we'll take $70 off, we'll take $50 off because it's your first case, or we'll take $75 off, you know, your first parking ticket because you had nowhere to park, whatever it is. But if you're on your seventh speeding ticket or you're on your fifth parking ticket, they're not going to give you that leniency. One, your license probably gets suspended. And two, you're going to have to pay those fines. And probably they might increase them because you're a repeat offender. That means you're not learning your lesson. So I'm not trying to hear no, oh, free Kodak, free him. He doesn't deserve this. This is the cost of fame. or this is the cost of fame in the entertainment business, in the music business, in the film business. You lose some privacy when you get to that, to his height. You do. Especially when you were freed by Donald Trump. Yeah, that one time. You know what I mean? He was giving clemency. So you don't have that same... You lose it. And people try to say, oh, he's human. He is human. You're like 100% right. We have bad days. We have great days. We have okay days and we have shit days. Let's not pretend like that doesn't happen. But if I know for a fact, if I have a bad day, it's going to be sent to millions. And if I have a really bad day and I get caught, let's say bringing pistols and weed from and to Canada, what excuse can I give you? Especially when that's not your first offense. What excuse do I give you? Nothing. It's you. It's you. And I get it. He's a phenomenal artist. He's influenced many artists in Florida and around the world. Already to Great Britain, I think. To Canada. To all places that now make and produce rap music. He's a great influence. People take that hairstyle that he has. It's not originally his. But he when you're most well known for it, it's going to come back to you. So to say he's not iconic, that's not the case. He is. But this is what happens when you gain popularity in the entertainment business. You become a face, and he's a face. And he has to deal with that now. There's no, I'm not trying to hear that excuse, oh, you know, this, that, and the third, he deserves some privacy. Unfortunately, if you had become a tech guru, if you had became a financial guru, a guru of real estate, somebody who became popular in that, you wouldn't have to deal with half the shit you deal with. But you're in entertainment. So the cameras will always be on you no matter where you go, no matter what you do. Deal with it. And he's dealing with it. Because now he threw a rock at a journalist or something like that. And my friend's like, nah, it's his clone. I said, well then, they must have made the Gucci clone and the Kodak clone at two different facilities because they don't act the same. You know, generally somebody gets cloned and comes back, you know, more safe. You know, they say he was cloned. Kodak has come out the same way every time. So I don't think that man cloned. But at the same time, you had to do better. And now his PR team is saying he donated a certain amount of money to a police officer. Listen, as Shannon Sharp once said, you can't be greasier than a can of oil. You can't. So, you can't fool me. I know it's a PR move to try to take the attention off him throwing the rocks. His PR team, his publicist, has probably been spreading bullets for the past at least 10 years. However long he's been in the main eye for that long, because they've been fighting. Yeah, I mean, they've been fighting to keep him out of prison. They've been fighting to keep him situated in a proper area. But that's all I want to talk about him, because... You know, he's not the only artist that always gets into trouble. But he's one of the main ones that I always see. Talking about free Kodak. Free him. He did nothing wrong. No, he did something wrong. That's like Magnus. For those who don't know, that's a Warhammer 40k character. All those memes, he did nothing wrong. When you read the books, nah, he did some shit wrong. I mean, there's a lot of things he could have did that he didn't do. So, yeah. I'm tired of the excuses. Hold him accountable, just like how you hold all these other motherfuckers accountable. Y'all don't be holding everybody the same way, accountable. And one of the last topics, because I believe, let's check how long we've been going. So I'm going for about almost an hour. So this would be our second to last topic: Helldivers. Helldivers 2. Been loving the game and playing it. I'm a level 12, 13. Loving it, enjoying it. The servers have been the only thing that's been stopping me from enjoying it, which they have now improved tremendously from where they were to where they're at now. Great. Love it. But what I will say is this. This goes back to my previous point. Warhammer, what are you doing? Games Workshop, what are you doing? Now, for all those that don't care about this, you can end this shit now. This is about the nerd shit, because I'm a nerd. I always tell people, I'm a gamer before I'm a producer, and before I'm a podcast, I'm a gamer before anything else. But what are y'all doing? This has been a great year for games, by the way. If you've been watching the games that have been dropping, the trailers that have been coming out for games, this has been a hell of a year. Great year. A lot better year than 2022 and 2023, and maybe 2021, depending on who you ask. But this has been a great year, right? But Games Workshop, what are you doing? Helldivers 2, if you could reskin Helldivers 2 with infantry, or which I will bring up and explain later, Lucifer Blacks, if you reskin them in Helldivers 2, you would get a Warhammer 40k game, because they come in the exact same way as, you know, ODST and Astartes. They come in the exact same way, and you could tell there's definitely some influences from Warhammer 40k and Helldivers 2. I have no problem with that. Some people complain when somebody takes influence from another book, from another culture. Now, the only problem I have is when you don't give that same credibility back. But 9 times out of 10, they put the credibility in the art. Now, we all know some people get claimed to start something like rock and roll, jazz. You know, if you don't know your history, some people would say white people made that. But if you know your history, it was black people. Stuff like that should be held accountable. It should be held more accountable. But stuff outside of that, you know, things will spread regardless. It's just like when some of my friends, I'm not going to say no names, some of my friends come up to me and they say, oh, rap, hip hop, you know, we should gatekeep it more. You can't. It's a musical art form. That'd be like the people in the South trying to gatekeep jazz and country. You can't gatekeep something that can be put onto a vinyl, that can be listened to somebody else far, far away that you have no control over. Again, if you try to go over to Asia and tell them they can't play rap music, it's just going to make them play rap music more. It's the same thing that happened with us in the 80s. People were told they should not listen to rap music. Then look at what happened. NWA came out. All these great artists came out. Because you said they couldn't do it. When you tell people they cannot do something, that makes them more it makes them more dedicated to do it. It does. Because we as people are, some of us people, when you tell us we cannot do something, it just makes us want to do it more. It does. That's just how some of us are. Oh, I can't do it? I bet. Watch this. So, you know, Helldivers 2, all Warhammer had to do was go up to, I think it's Arrowhead. All that, hey, listen, Arrowhead, you know, we see you developing some fire over here, right? You know, if we give you our license, now we ain't going to give it to you free, we'll give it to you at a discount rate. Which y'all talking about? Now, for all those that don't know who Arrowhead is, Arrowhead made Magicka. They made Helldivers 1. All niche games. Nothing that was, you know, egregious. Magicka had a little bit of a pop. If you watch Total Biscuit, the Yazcast, you know, they kind of did their thing on that game. I enjoyed that series as a kid. That shit had me dying laughing in the library. I think I almost got kicked out one time out of the library because I was laughing too hard. They told me I had to keep quiet. And I was over there crying in tears for me laughing. But, you know, There are just certain things that Game Workshop just does not do well, and that's making games that people would like outside of the, you know, strategy games, RPG games, which are good. Rogue Trader, I heard, is really good. That's a game that I plan to get. You know, they're good, but this could have been there. Especially with Amazon. You know, they got that Amazon Warhammer 40k series coming out soon. I don't think it's going to be Horus Heresy based. I hope not. You know, certain things you should build into. And that's one of those. I think they should do the Great Crusade into the Horus Heresy. Because if you just do the Horus Heresy without no backward context, you're probably going to lose a lot of people. Because they're not going to understand why Horus becomes who he is unless they understand the pre-context old, you know, with the orcs. If you don't have that pre-context as to why he changed and as to why he kind of fell as the War Master, if you don't have that reason or that context, you're not going to really understand it. So I hope they do beforehand first and lead into it. And I think the Emperor should never be on the screen. He should just be a voice that's there, but he should never be shown, because even the Emperor in the books isn't really described. He's really not. And people often see the best version of him because that's one of his abilities. So, you know, he actually physically does this to where he will alter himself to where everybody around him will see him as perfect in their own eyes. But regardless, you know, Helldivers 2, I am loving it, appreciating it. Great game. It's kind of reminding me of like ODST, Halo 2, Halo 3 zombies, kind of, and not zombies, the Swarm, not the Swarm, that's StarCraft 2, I can't remember their name, but it's kind of reminded me of that time period of my life, and that was a great time period. And you know, I stank like a motherfucker when I was playing that game, though, especially back in the day playing Halo 2, Halo 3. All your boy would do is just go home and play Xbox. I mean, but that was my childhood. You know, getting cursed out, being called the hard R. This is going on YouTube, so I can't say it. Getting called the hard R a bunch, getting called the squeaker, being told to wait till my balls drop. You know, that was a good time, and I think that kind of made me not be as sensitive as some other people that I know, because I just don't care about what people say about me 9 times out of 10. And I really don't care about my appearance 9 times out of 10. Unless I have to go somewhere, then I'll be like, all right, how's my haircut looking? If my haircut looks pretty mid, I might do something. But outside of that, I just don't care. I don't. And for our last topic today, this is a odd topic. Let me pull up the Reddit. Where is it? So listen, I'm gonna do this whenever it's a short podcast to leave y'all with something. Oh, and by the way, the gentleman that got involved in that fight, the four people ejected were Jimmy Butler, Thomas Bryant, Jose Alvarado, that's who I was thinking of, and Najee Marshall. Let me find, where is it? I gotta remember to take all those little silent moments out. Is this it? Here we go. All right. So this could be false. This could be fake. So a gentleman on Twitter on Reddit, his girlfriend wanted him to have sex with her deaf best friend. Well, with her deaf friend. Now, listen, right? And this is an odd topic. That's why I have it on here. I'm gonna try to do that just to throw you guys a little off. I don't know how I'd feel, because this isn't no bash, because it never happened, but I had been offered a threesome before. Now, this was before we got into a relationship, but at the time, my significant other had been, you know, bi, so she said she'd had no problem with doing that if we ever got to that stage, which we never did, but she would be open to it. So if she had come up to me and said, "Yeah, my blind best friend my deaf friend who's never had sexual engagement due to her, you know, disability, according to the Reddit, there's nothing wrong with it physically. It's just the fact that she's deaf. I would let you." This is a great sentence. They said, according to the Reddit, that they would have no problem with their boyfriend smashing the shit out of the deaf friend. And according to this Reddit, the dude was in disbelief, because he said, you know, that made him feel very comfortable. This, and here I quote, "I told her that she was my girlfriend and that having sex with anyone else, regardless of the reason, didn't sit right with me. I told her I didn't want to break the foundation of our relationship over a girl I barely know. My girlfriend told me that she has no problem with me doing this and that she would do the same if she was in a similar situation. That comment made me even more uncomfortable about the state of our relationship. I'm disgusted and upset, and I'm generally aware that I can't continue this relationship anymore." See, you know, not everybody, because this is a hard situation, because I know some people who would leap at some individuals are so, I don't want to say thirsty, are so craving, are craving of the sexual interaction that they get, that they bend anybody over as long as they look nice. Like, I'm not going to say no name, but I got some friends who would definitely smash, if they had the opportunity, they would smash some midgets. Tear them right on up. With their consonant heights up. I mean, they said they would do it. Me, that's not really where I feel comfortable. I can't smash a midget. But if you can, that or a midget, or a shorter person. Let me use proper, because I ain't trying to get canceled. Someone who is of shorter stature than the average height. There you go. That's the word I would use. So For me, I wouldn't also feel comfortable with this. And the fact that she said if he had a blind, deaf best friend, or a deaf friend. Jesus, I said blind and deaf. If they said they had a deaf friend or a deaf friend and he had no problem, this kind of sounds like a setup. Like, she doesn't really want to be in the relationship anymore. She's trying to push him out, but trying to push him out in the nicest way. But it ain't happening, man. That would definitely leave me feeling some type of way, and that would be a very long conversation. I wouldn't just be like, we talked about it and it's done. That'd be like, yo, what's up with you? Like, why would you even ask me that? Like, that would probably lead down a rabbit hole, and I wouldn't be surprised if the relationship wouldn't last much longer. But that is our odd and unique topic of the day. You're not really going to hear me talk about relationships like that, because I don't care. And nobody should care about my relationship status, whether I'm single, taken, I'm going to the gym. Yeah, because that is a status now. Oh, I'm in the gym. I mean, that's a status, whether I'm chilling. So, yeah, we'll wrap it up there. It has been your boy, Huey. Please like, subscribe, share it with your peoples if you find me entertaining. I am on Instagram, a kid nicknamed Huey. Same thing on Twitter. I'd be out here if you ever, you know, if you have any questions, anything like that you want me to answer, go right on ahead. And 9 times out of 10, I will answer it regardless of what it is. You can say, why do you talk so much? Because I can. All right. It has been your boy, Huey. The outro music should be playing. And I will see y'all when I see y'all. Peace.